time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
You know what we like to do on the Weekend Morning Show is keep things fresh. And we're going to do that with our abandoned Manitoba segment today. Gordon Goldsborough has decided to take a different look at this segment. And we are going to be doing something called Buildings in Limbo. And he's here to explain more.
Yeah, well, good morning, Nadia. Well, we, of course, often talk about buildings that are abandoned and abandoned for a very long time so that there's no likelihood of them ever being used again. But there are quite a few buildings out there that you can't really tell for sure. You know, they haven't been used maybe for a little while, but you think, well, with a little bit of initiative, they probably could be. So there's our theme. And of course, longtime listeners know we have, in fact, talked about a few such buildings in the past. You know, here in Winnipeg, for example, the Municipal Hall in North Kildonan, the old Carnegie Library on William Avenue, the Shriners Hospital on Wellington Crescent, all, I would argue, certainly usable buildings, but for whatever reason, aren't.
Well, yeah, why are buildings in limbo for various reasons?
Well, I think every case is probably a little bit different, but I think in majority of these cases, the buildings are old. And of course, that means, therefore, that their mechanical systems are old and probably need to have replacements of furnaces and water heaters and things like that. Their, you know, electrical systems are probably the old knob and system. They aren't designed for people in wheelchairs, you know, and they therefore just aren't the sort of buildings that are easily turned into useful ones. And so a lot of times their owners are just in a difficult situation. They might like to use the buildings, but it would just be too costly. Well, on the other hand, of course, some people argue that, you know, some of these owners aren't really all that responsible. And in fact, they're simply hoping that the buildings, by being neglected, will deteriorate so they can tear them down and then turn that property that might be more useful for a new building into something different. So whether it's simply because of realities or because of sort of willful neglect, for whatever reason, buildings stand empty.
Are there lots of these kinds of buildings in Winnipeg?
Well, there's the difficult situation. I wasn't able to come up with any statistics on the number of them. The city of Winnipeg does track the status of these buildings, and I suppose I could have got statistics. I think it probably more or less tracks the economic activity of the city. So, for example, if you compare us to Detroit, for example, Detroit is often given as sort of the poster child of abandonment because there's just so many buildings around Detroit that are abandoned that it's really quite striking. But I would argue here we're no worse than any other city, I think. But for varying reasons, these buildings simply aren't being used to their full potential.
Okay, so can you give us some examples?
Okay, well, I thought I would do a few that had sort of a common element, and you're going to see what that common element is as we go through them. And I'll list them in order from oldest to newest, starting with a building called the St. Charles Hotel.
And where is this?
Well, it's down in the Exchange District. It's kind of at the corner of Albert Street and Notre Dame. It's our oldest building. It was built in 1913. So, of course, it's just a little over 100 years old. And it was built for a fellow from England by the name of George Skinner. So it was in a time when, of course, the center part of the city was the major part of the city. And, of course, hotels were necessary because people who would be traveling through Winnipeg, you need a hotel to stay in. And so it was very popular until, fairly recently.
So what does it look like now?
Well, you can go online, actually, and there's some photos taken from the interior, and it's pretty thoroughly gutted now by the look of it. In fact, through the years, if you look at its history, it has gone through quite a few renovations. Most significantly, I think, in 1965, where they basically made a concession, I think, to the changing demographics of the community. They took the dining room, and they kind of downsized it, and then they made a much larger beer parlor, you know, recognizing that there were more and more people there that wanted to drink. They turned the mezzanine into a banquet hall. But in 2008, so in other words, 10 years ago, they closed it. And in fact, there's been several times where the various heritage advocates, the city itself, has called for it to be redeveloped, and the owner has steadfastly resisted all of those. So it's been in limbo for 10 years.
And which is a shame, right? Because it's such a historic,
historic
piece of our city.
And arguably a very useful building. It could be done, you know, various things could be done with it. You know, maybe turned into office space, maybe turned into residential space. You know, who knows?
Okay, what's the next building in limbo?
Well, 1 year newer is the Reuben Block. And it's along Osborne, at the corner of Osborne and Morley. It was built in 1914. In fact, it has a very prominent architect, a fellow named Max Blankstein. And if you're a fan of architecture, you know that the Blankstein name is connected with a lot of buildings around Winnipeg, notably a lot of the old theater buildings. He was responsible for them. This building was built for a fellow named Reuben Cohen. And that's why it's called the Reuben Block. But it's really weird. I tried to do research on Mr. Cohen to find out a little more about him, and I could find nothing, absolutely nothing, which is unusual because usually I can find a few details. I know nothing. So I'm hoping that maybe one of our listeners can fill in who is the Reuben of the Reuben Block. But originally it hosted a bank on the main floor, the Merchants Bank of Canada. It later became the Bank of Montreal. It also hosted a tailor's shop and a barber shop. In fact, the barber shop continued right up until the 1970s. So that was one of the longer residents of it. And then it's a three-story building. The upper two floors were residential space, people's apartments. In fact, it was used up until fairly recently. The main floor, the former bank space, had been turned into an office for the local MLA, James Allam. But they had a fire. In fact, there were two fires, one of them in 2007, one in 2014. The one in 2007 was the more severe of the two, damaged the building fairly extensively. And the locals have been quite upset about the fact that the building is still unused. In fact, just recently, I know somebody put up a large anonymous sign on the side of the building, hoping to shame the owner into doing something with that building because it's, say, been sitting empty since that fire of 2014.
I saw that sign on the way to work the other day, actually. So, yeah, clearly the locals are feeling very frustrated about that.
That's right.
So we have another hotel on the list?
Yes, and again, another sort of very public display of abandonment, the St. James Hotel on Portage Avenue, just a little bit west of Polo Park. It was built in 1928 for a fellow named Frank Fowley. He was originally from western Manitoba, from the town of Deloraine, and he came here in 1908, and over the series of years actually had several hotels in and around Winnipeg. This particular one had a very sort of distinct sort of English theme. In fact, I think it may have been because of the nature of its architect. It was a fellow named James Hawker, who was here from England. It had, again, like many of them, had bedrooms on the second floor. It had a beer parlor, or what later became sort of an English-style tavern on the restaurant on the main floor. And it was seemed to be doing well until 2017, early last year. It had a fairly extensive fire that started on the second floor. And so now the beer vendor is still open. It's a separate building off to the side. It's still open. But I went by a few weeks ago, and it looked like it was pretty still empty. But since then, I've noticed workers putting boards over the windows. And that's never a good sign when you see boards on windows, that it doesn't sound like anything's going to be happening to that building anytime soon.
Okay, let's head back to Osborne, this time in the village.
You have something there. Yes. Well, of course, anybody who knows about the nightlife in Winnipeg knows about the Osborne Village Inn. A very prominent place for rock bands through the years. A lot of bands got their start at the Osborne Village Inn. It began life actually much more recently. It's the newest of our four, and it's started in 1965, opened by a guy named Oscar Grubert. Now, that name might mean something to a few of our listeners in that he was a very prominent restaurateur. He had all kinds of restaurants in Winnipeg. Perhaps the most famous one of those was Mother Tucker's over in the old Masonic Temple. But he started it. He opened it as the Champs Motor Inn in 1965, and he envisioned it was going to be the beginnings of sort of a chain of entertainment hotels. This one, was sort of on a British theme. In fact, he had a lounge where he brought in a singer from London, England. He picked up the guy in a Rolls-Royce courtesy car at the airport. They had a big restaurant where you could grill your own steaks indoors for a true outdoors flavor. But for whatever reason, it didn't do very well. And so 5 years later, Oscar Grubert sold it to the Kivas family. The Kivases ran the chain KTEL. And again, people of a certain age will recognize that name, a very prominent one in entertainment here in Manitoba. They renamed it the Plaza Inn, and then, of course, it was later renamed the Osborne Village Inn. It's been closed since 2015, and they keep announcing various plans. Most recently, about a year ago, they had great plans. They were going to reopen it, and, well, nothing yet.
What's about the situation of buildings in limbo outside of Winnipeg?
Well, it's no better outside of Winnipeg, and at least in some towns, particularly ones that have been subject to rural depopulation, much worse. There are some towns where there isn't much left but buildings in limbo. So I think, you know, we'll come back to this theme in a few weeks, and we'll talk about a few of these buildings in limbo outside of Winnipeg.
I like this new take on abandoned Manitoba. Thanks, Gordon.
You're welcome, Nadja.
So what's up for next week?
Well, we're going to go back to our theme of abandonment, looking at a building in the North Interlake that has a connection to a very important event that occurred at Winnipeg's Marlborough Hotel in November of 1925.
Very cool, Gordon. Thanks so much.
See you then.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons ago.